Okay, we're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So the news spread quickly that Christ was saving Gentiles as well as Jews. Now, this was big news with the apostles and with the early church, which was entirely Jewish at the beginning, and they probably assumed that that's the way it would always be, and if somebody wanted to be saved, they would have to become a Jew first and then receive Christ. Not the case. Verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. So by the time Peter returned to Jerusalem, after seeing the Gentile Cornelius and his household saved, the word had spread that he had been in that Gentile home. And not only that, Peter was saying that God accepted those Gentiles through Christ. And the Jews were very upset with Peter because of those things. And this is what they said in verse 3, "You went in to men circumcised." Uncircumcised, I should say, and did eat with them. Now, well, that's true, but what's kind of puzzling to me is that the Jews in Jerusalem, and the Jewish Christians, I should add, in Jerusalem, they overlooked the fact that God was doing great things in the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. The Jewish Christians in Jerusalem overlooked the good things that had occurred, such as the Gentiles repenting, being baptized, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Instead, they're just stuck on the fact that Peter ate with them. Big deal. In light of everything else, big deal. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, I'm jumped way ahead by a chapter. Verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order to them, saying. So Peter started, no doubt, with the vision that he saw while praying on the housetop. And then he probably related in detail everything that happened with Cornelius receiving Christ. So Peter is bending over backwards to explain things to these Jewish Christians. Now, Peter could have flexed his apostolic muscle, and he could have shoved his beliefs down the Jews' throats. But instead, he explained why he did what he did. And I suppose that's a mark of a good leader. Humility is one aspect of good leadership. Verse 5, he says, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And Peter says, I saw a vision. And by the way, this was a vision, not an actual happening. And so when Peter said he looked at it closely, it simply means he thought about it carefully, because a vision is not seen with eyes. It is seen with spirit. Verse 7, and I heard a voice saying to me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Now, if these Jewish Christians were shocked when they heard that Peter ate with the Gentiles, they should have been with him when he was told to eat these formerly forbidden animals. Peter was shocked too. Everyone is shocked by what's going on here. 8, but I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. Peter is saying that he responded to these new things from God the same way the Jews in Jerusalem are responding to him. He says, it didn't make sense to me either. In other words, I know what you men are going through, And I know what you are thinking, but it's time to change our thinking and get it in line with the Word of God. Verse 9. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not you common. In other words, what God says is right, is right. And what God says is okay, is okay. You know, when God says something, and he says that something is okay or something is correct, no human being has the right to say anything different. That is adding to the Word of God. 10. And this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. God told Peter 3 times that it was okay to kill and eat those formerly unclean animals. And by the way, just as a footnote, cruelty to animals is wrong, but they are animals, not humans. And there's a huge difference in the eyes of God. And those groups who condemn meat eaters, you know what they ought to do? They ought to eat their vegetables and mind their own business. Because God says it's okay to eat meat. Verse 11. And behold, immediately there were 3 men already come to the house where I was, sent from Caesarea to me. As soon as the vision ended, 3 men were at Peter's door. They would supply the answers to his puzzling vision. Verse 12. And the Spirit bid me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Peter says, God told me to go with them to the home of a Gentile and not to worry about it. And now the Jews in Jerusalem also need to set aside the former barriers between Jew and Gentile and learn to accept them in Christ. If God receives someone, we better not reject them. Verse 13. And he showed us how he had been, or how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. So God was working both ends of this thing, the Cornelius end, the Peter end. This wasn't about Peter hanging out with Gentiles on a whim. The entire thing was God's doing. He arranged the meeting between Peter and the Gentiles. And so the Jews in Jerusalem need to accept what's going on here. 14. Who shall tell you words whereby you and all your house shall be saved? Cornelius had been a God-fearing man, but he still needed to be saved. He needed to hear about Christ so that he could receive him. And we see from this that God knows the hearts of all people. If given a chance, someone would receive Christ, then God will surely make it possible for them to hear about Jesus. 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. The Gentiles did not pray a special sinner's prayer to receive Christ. They were not baptized, and they were not confirmed. They heard the Word of God, and they received the message of Jesus in their souls. And God knew that they believed in Christ, and that they had received him in their heart, and so he gave them the Holy Spirit as a result, and they were saved. We need to be careful. I'm talking to evangelicals and fundamentals. You need to be careful not to think that there's some magic formula in someone praying a sinner's prayer. A person is saved when they believe in their heart that Christ was crucified for their sins and was raised from the dead. And they receive Jesus Christ by receiving him into their heart, by even thinking Jesus into their heart, because God knows your heart and he knows what you want to do. Right? You can't put God in the box. Well, you got to pray the sinner's prayer, and then turn around and gripe about the Catholics or the Lutherans who teach confirmation and call it a dead ritual that doesn't mean anything. Well, you know, that door swings both ways. Verse 16. Because there are people who pray the sinner's prayer and they think they're saved, but they haven't really repented and received him in their heart. 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And Peter remembered those words when he saw it happen to the Gentiles. He knew that Jesus had baptized Cornelius with the Holy Ghost, just as he did the apostles on the day of Pentecost, which meant that there wasn't a bit of difference between Jew and Gentiles as far as God is concerned, as long as they were in Christ. 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? In other words, Peter is saying, who was I to argue with God? 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance to life. Yes, that's true. God has granted repentance to the Gentiles so that they also can have eternal life. You know, some people hate the thought of repentance. They hate the thought of giving up their sin. But what they don't understand is that an opportunity to repent before they die is a gift from God. Instead of becoming stiff-necked and angry when the Word of God tells you to give up your sin and receive Christ, one should be thankful for the opportunity to do it. And do it, because if they do, they won't burn in hell forever. Verse 19. It says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. And verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spoke to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And Antioch needed the gospel badly. Antioch was known for its worship of the pagan gods Apollos and Artemis. And among other things, the so-called worship of Apollo and Artemis included prostitution. So if you guessed that Antioch was deep into moral depravity, you were right. Bad people doing bad things, much of it in the name of their religion. You know, it's really bad when, whether it's a pagan religion or a so-called Christian denomination or church today, advocates sinful practices. Back then it was prostitution. Today there are liberal denominations that advocate homosexual behavior and even ordain homosexual so-called ministers. There's no difference between that and the worship of Apollos and Artemis. It's all condoning sin in the name of religion.